it's true that quarterbacks are not quite as important as they were a couple generations ago because they don't call their own plays, but they're still extraordinarily influential in the tone they bring, the attitude they bring to the huddle.
It's 14-10 San Diego, but Kansas City has the ball.
And now, Dick, because they have no timeouts left, this is a two-minute hurry-up offense.
When you were in those situations with Joe, you did not question the quarterback. This guy has seen it and done it, and he's seen it all.
Back to pass, Montana cocks his arm, throws a pass. It's caught. It's caught for a first.
He wasn't a big rah-rah guy.
With 3:07 to go and on fourth down, Kansas City must go for it.
There wasn't any pressure. It wasn't any panic. When Joe came in the huddle, all that stopped.
Back to pass, Montana. Here comes the blitz. Joe moves up, cocks his arm, throws a pass. It's caught. It's caught for a first down.
What Joe Montana possessed in spades was that sense of utter, almost eerie calm in the face of pressure.
Montana the snap, the spin, handoff, Marcus right side, dives in, touchdown, Kansas City!
This is a guy that his heart rate just never changed.
He had this ability to win. He had this ability to bring his teams back.
Joe Montana drive.
I don't care what they're paying Montana, he is worth every last penny.
And Kansas City will go back to Missouri with a 5-1 record and the lead in the AFC West.
These are games in the past this team may not have won. And what does this win mean down the road?
This was the roller coaster ride. This was the jolt. We hadn't seen anything like that since Lenny. I mean, you never figured you were out of a game.
As sports towns go, there are few better. Here, they know football. They saw its beginnings. They saw it come alive and grow. They saw it shine on the biggest stage. But for many years, after the glow of Super Bowl glory had faded, they saw it falter. Their team needed a spark.
The changes that happened with the Chiefs in 93 really began in the playoff game against San Diego. At the end of the 92 season, when they got shut out.
We had just, I think, been in our third consecutive playoffs. But there was an obvious missing point here. I had an edict, a rule with Marty. I said, look, we're both going to get away for 1 week. We're too emotional. And then I want to sit down with you and let's rationally decide what we need to accomplish.
I think Marty had come to the realization that to advance further in the playoffs, you couldn't be the Marty ball pounded out offense. You had to get yardage in chunks.
Marty had said, we've got to be able to pass to win. We've got to open things up.
Some franchises need a quarterback, and some have too many. In the spring of 1993, the San Francisco 49ers were faced with that problem. And we're contemplating the unseemly prospect of choosing one Hall of Famer over another.
I knew that the 49ers were going to have to make a decision.
We would like Joe to stay. We'd like him to be part of the organization.
Obviously, they could not keep both Joe Montana and Steve Young. So I made a call to Carmen Policy, the president of the 49ers, and said, Carmen, do you have any interest in moving either Joe or Steve? And, of course, there was a long silence and came back. He said, well, I don't think we can move Steve, but if you want Joe, it's going to cost you an awful lot.
We're talking about Joe Montana. Joe Montana, quarterback Joe Montana.
The Chiefs are back in the running in the Montana Derby.
From here, I'm going to Kansas City. And things
are a little more serious now than they were about 10 days ago.
So it's down to Phoenix and Kansas City, period.
Is he going to be here in a Chiefs uniform or not, Kevin?
F your neighbor.
When it became evident that they were zeroing in on Joe and a trade was going to be made, I think people were kind of breathless. I just think you're working at Joe Montana.
I was on vacation. And I remember getting the newspaper and seeing this article saying that Joe Montana may be joining the Chiefs. And I was like, no way.
We are very, very pleased to officially announce that Joe Montana, his lovely wife Jennifer, and all of their family are officially Kansas City Chiefs.
It was huge. The arrival of a rock star. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen.
I think collectively the city just kind of, we all blew a gasket. It was like a celebrity in our midst, and people were talking about Montana sightings.
I'll never forget after trading for Joe and we got him here in the off season. Defense would practice in the early morning and the offense in the later morning. Joe's first practice with us, the entire defense did not leave the field. They wanted to see Joe Montana live.
I had to get used to it because the very first huddle, I was in the huddle with Joe. I was sitting there staring at him like a little kid, like, that's Joe Montana, you know.
It was just amazing, the buzz that was going around the town even then. Joe Montana was over at a place in Westport that was empty. I think it was a Tuesday night. And by the time we left, the place was packed as if it was a Friday night in Westport.
Kansas Cityans, we always feel marginalized. We always feel like the bigger cities get more attention. Here was this good team. Where was our Sports Illustrated cover? Where was the NBC sports crew to talk to us about our team? Well, suddenly, all of that came at once.
San Francisco still will have the Golden Gate Bridge, cable cars, Fisherman's Wharf, North Beach, and the best marriage of city, sea, and sky in America. But it will no longer have Joe Montana.
Kansas City was smitten with its new star. But beneath the frenzy and fervor of Montana mania, there persisted a quiet undercurrent of skepticism about the 37-year-old quarterback's health.
We have had our doctors spend time with him. We had him work out for us. Certainly is something that we have to look at, but we feel good about Joe's physical condition at this point.
He was coming off of a year in which he hadn't played. He had a bad elbow.
There was a feeling that he might be over the hill. He also had that painful, I remember the bursa sack on his elbow. It looked like that somebody had slipped a grapefruit under his skin. It looked very painful. So there was some question, was the old Montana magic there?
All right, everybody up, let's go!
I remember watching the opener against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down in Tampa. There'd been some flashes in preseason, but still nobody was sure how that was going to go.
We welcome you to Tampa Stadium, where today the temperature on the field will reach over 100 degrees, and the humidity is very, very high.
You know, and Joe, you could tell, you know, he hadn't played in a couple of years. You know, you can be in all kinds of great shape, but football shape's a little bit different.
King right flex, yeah. 200 jets. He's saying, hey, if you don't have the slant, you got the tight end over the ball.
Yeah, he knows that.
Yeah, in a corner by the other.
You got it.
We had great training camp practices, and it was like, okay, here we go. How are we going to mesh? How are we going to start out? And right away, we just came out the gate flying.
Back to pass, Joe Montana sets up, winds up, hesitates, now throws a pass into the end zone. A diving catch, touchdown! Willie Davis between two Buccaneer defenders.
Joe went out and threw three touchdown passes the first half. It was extraordinary.
I don't think he had an incomplete pass until like halfway through the second quarter.
Pocket crumbling, Montana winds up, arches a spiral down the near side. Over the shoulder catch of the 10 by J.J. They'll chase him into the end zone, touchdown! J.J. Burden has just caught a 52-yard touchdown pass by Joe Montana. What a play!
Sweet release.
The Chiefs wound up winning 27-3. Montana had only a handful of incomplete passes all day, and he looked great. He made good touch throws. He threw deep a couple of times, and you could see it was still there. And you could also see that the offense's personality was changed because of that capability.
They built up a high degree of confidence in all of us. I remember everybody was scoring that game.
We said, you know, we really got something going here.
Let's light the fuse and kick some ass.
The Chiefs had two great offensive minds. They had Al Saunders, who I think at that time was like the receiver coach, and Paul Hackett was on board. Well, with those two great passing minds working with, you know, as good a quarterback as pro football has ever seen, you just knew that it was going to have a different feel to it. And so Marty, who thought they had to begin to pass the ball to advance and get where they wanted to get, they were passing the ball.
Back to pass, Montana. Practice on, throws a pass. It's hot.
Obviously, the playbook opened up. You know, they were throwing it on first down. They were throwing it more. We were throwing post routes and goes and all that.
It was fun. It really was. It was fun learning the offense, playing with Joe.
The nature of that offense, I think, was one that built confidence because it was an offense that kept the chains moving.
You know, it was a 3 and 5 step drop, so we were getting the ball off quick.
It's short. It's rhythm. It's moving the chains with the pass. It's mixing in the run.
We would take our 4 or 5 yard plays and keep going and get down the field and possess the ball.
Just chip, 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 chip away. And there's never been anyone better than Montana to orchestrate that.
When it was clicking, nobody could stop us.
Welcome to the most beautiful stadium in the National Football League, and perhaps today the coldest. It is clear, 25 degrees, the wind chill.
The game was sort of like, it seems like every Chiefs home playoff game, icy cold.
It is cold here, about 20 degrees, but as we've already discussed, a good day to play football, no wind blowing. Kansas City coming in at 11-5, they have won their first division title, the AFC West.
The Chiefs playing the Steelers in the early 90s was like looking into a mirror. Those games were at times like an isometric exercise, two teams trying to do the exact same thing to one another. And so I think fans going into that playoff game in 93 were a little bit concerned because they knew the Steelers' personnel matched up pretty well against Kansas City.
We're talking about Montana and getting pressure on them. This Steeler defense has initiated some new blitzes for this ball game. They're going to try and come from the inside so he can't step up in the pocket.
It might be 11:30 in the morning here in Kansas City, but we are ready for some football, and the NFL postseason is underway. Joe Montana, his 20th postseason game.
The Steelers seem to have the edge for much of that game.
Montana to the air on first down and over the middle. And Montana on first down, too high for Marcus Allen. Under pressure, Hodge on the middle screen. Gets into Kansas City territory. And O'Donnell comes back to the near side to Adrian Cooper. Touchdown.
Right now, Kansas City in somewhat of a state of wonderment is what Bill Cowher's Pittsburgh Steelers have done to them early.
There was a degree of kind of the jitters and a little just restricted. We weren't opening up.
Well, I know that if you watch the first quarter or the second quarter of that game, Joe Montana's wearing gloves. And you watch the third quarter and the fourth quarter, he's not.
Montana, that short drop and a quick pass, and it's knocked down by Dion Figures.
Well, right now, you've got to say to yourself, how are these gloves that Joe Montana is wearing, how are they working so far?
The week leading up to the game, it was extremely cold. And there were some quarterbacks out there that had been experimenting a little bit with wearing gloves. And so we let him try different gloves all week, and he honed in on a pair that he really liked and threw the ball well in practice and, you know, went through pregame and everything was fine. And he had gotten off to kind of a rough start.
He started the game 0-for-7 passing.
And Montana this time throws it out of bounds. So he's been high, low, and wide.
All right, it's time to take off the gloves, Joe.
Yep. Kind of was like shaking his head like, God, I just don't know what the heck's wrong. And I said, well, Joe, you know, you're wearing gloves, I think, for the first time in your career. And he looked down at his hands and he was like, oh, yeah, you're right.
And there are the gloves worn at the beginning of this game by Joe Montana, who's decided to go it barehanded.
He said it was one of the first times he ever wore gloves and didn't quite get the feel of the ball early. You know, and we sparred a little bit offensively. You know, they had a solid defense.
We really didn't think we'd fall behind the way we did. But with the guy we had at quarterback and the weapons we had on offense, wasn't any panic.
On second and seventh throws, Andrews makes the catch. That's a...
There was never a feeling that we were going to lose that game. You know, everyone believed in what we were doing. Everyone believed in Joe.
Moves up to avoid the rush, arches a pass down the near side. A leaping two-handed grab on the sideline.
Marcus Allen takes it to the 33-yard line. Catch is made by Burton.
The pitch out to Marcus. Gets a block, cuts inside, over the tackle. Diving in, touchdown! They're on a roll, baby! They're on a roll!
This Kansas City team starting to believe.
Well, when they came out in the second half, I think Joe was over his nervousness a little bit, and he had a really good second half, but they were still down by 7 points with 3 minutes left in the game, and the Steelers had the ball.
Play fake, and no, incomplete. Fourth down.
Oils back at his 32. leaning over, hands dangling down at his side.
Starting in about 1986, the Chiefs had developed a really good reputation for blocking punts.
I think we were the only team that I can remember that teams would call timeout because they didn't know who to block and where we were coming from.
We always felt that we can get one because we were so tuned in. I mean, our coaches did a great job of really preparing us, and coach would always see a couple players that maybe didn't get off the ball very well. We knew at some point that coach was going to dial it up and we were going to go after the punter.
And there's the snap. It is high. Here comes the rush, and the punt is blocked. It's picked up by Kansas City. Caught on the far side. J.J. Burton and Fred Jones. Fred Jones down the side.
There was this sense of elation because we'd gotten the break we needed. But there was also this realization there was still like 10 yards to go. And the Steelers had a great defense.
First and goal. Marcus Allen to the 8-yard line. It'll be second and goal. Montana looking, throwing it incomplete, and Keith Cash.
And so with every play, first down, second down, third down, you can feel the tension rising in the stadium.
Wrap around to Marcus, and he can take it only to the 7-yard line.
Timeout.
Timeout, Kansas City, and maybe, well, it is the most important play of the game.
This is it.
They took a timeout. Montana came to the sidelines. I have never heard the stadium go from so much noise till you could hear a pin drop.
I don't know whether they'll go back in a zone defense or maybe Pittsburgh and Bill Cowher will send an all-out blitz. But the advantage definitely is with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now.
All right, Montana has visited the sideline. Not a more important play has been performed by the Chiefs than what is coming up right now.
And if you go back and look at that game, the calmest person in Arrowhead Stadium is so clearly Joe Montana.
Montana surveys the defense. Montana's got a receiver in motion. Back to pass, Montana. Cocks his arm. Looks right. No one there. Looks left. Throws in the end zone. Touchdown! He's done it! Joe Montana has done it again! Placed a line drive pass into the teeth of the Pittsburgh defense.
If you didn't believe before, you believe now.
Does he work beautifully in the pocket?
How often when you need it on fourth down, does it come through? Does it happen just like you would draw it up in a movie? And this was one of those times.
It'll be a 32-yard attempt. Ball put down, the kick is up. End over end. It is.
Hey!
The Chiefs are going to Houston.
What a game. I can't believe.
You said they brought him in to get them through the playoffs. He's taken one big step.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their snapshots in their mind of time at Arrowhead Stadium. I remember seeing that ball spinning in the air as if it was yesterday.
Those are the moments that built what has now become this Arrowhead behemoth of noise, this wall of emotion. It was what this stadium was made for big games and big-time noise. To feel that electricity that goes through you is just, it's indescribable.
The Chiefs' Kingdom is a symphony of moments, images, connections, and each snapshot tells a story of her adventure.
To Houston.
What a game. Houston will not be easy.
We've been to the playoffs every year. We never got the big break. Something would always happen. But this was our moment.
But I do remember going into the locker room and, you know, as excited as I was and as fired up as I was, you know, the veteran guys like Marcus and Joe, they just, you know, they were just sitting there getting ready and they said, hey guys, this isn't it. You know, we got some more work to do.
They're a very, very talented football team, arguably more talented than any team in the National Football League, and they're playing very, very well right now.
It made us all take a step back and reminded us that this is only step one. This is just the beginning.
65 toss power trap.